KBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and a federal judge in Washington denying an urgent request to block Elon Musk and the Department of Government Efficiency from firing employees or accessing sensitive records from a half a dozen departments, saying the suit did not show irreparable harm to individuals. White House Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt earlier said Elon Musk is not making the executive decisions under the department or DOGE.
President Trump is the ultimate decision maker for this entire administration. Elon Musk, just like everybody else across the federal government, works at the direction of President Trump.
President Trump today signing a new round of executive orders. It includes one to extend IVF access. The Vatican says Pope Francis has been diagnosed with pneumonia in both lungs. Initially, the 88-year-old pontiff was hospitalized to be treated for bronchitis. And severe storms now blamed for 15 deaths across four states. The majority of fatalities in Kentucky after flash flooding. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Tonight, Governor Tony Evers will give his budget address to the legislature. This is where he'll reveal his whole proposal, kicking off a negotiation process between him and Republicans. You can expect his priorities to align with what he discussed in his State of the State address a couple of weeks ago. He's revealed some parts of it already, including increasing funding for schools, reforms to Wisconsin's correctional system, and funding the new Office of Violence Prevention. His budget proposal also includes measures to lower the cost of child care and prescription medications. After the State of the State, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called Evers' priorities, quote, a whole lot of things that are not going to happen in Wisconsin. We'll have special coverage of the address tonight on 97.9 WGBW. Over the next 2 weeks, Brown County and the Port of Green Bay will be meeting with eight groups who responded to the request for information and expressed interest in operating or developing the former Pulliam plant site. Dean Hain, director of the Port of Green Bay, said the discussions will center around job creation, economic development, and moving cargo. C. Rice is one of those interested parties with a plan to move the coal piles from downtown Green Bay to the Pulliam site. As the Wisconsin Supreme Court election begins to kick into high gear, a political action committee backed by Elon Musk is throwing hundreds of thousands of dollars into advertisements. The Building America's Future Political Action Committee is running over $400,000 worth of ads in support of the conservative candidate, Judge Brad Schimel. Musk has publicly expressed his support for Judge Schimel. Judge Susan Crawford's campaign has accused Musk of trying to buy the election for her conservative opponent. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News.
It's the Badgers in Illinois. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Tonight at the Kohl's Center, it's Wisconsin against the Fighting Illini. Now, the last time these two teams met, Illinois won 86-80. The Badgers now ranked 11th in the nation. Head basketball coach Greg Gard on tonight's game.
Yeah, I think we're better on both ends of the floor. But obviously a really good team, a lot of talent. You know, when they're playing well, they're really, really good. So it's going to be a challenge for us and a good measuring stick to see where we have come from early December.
Number 16th ranked Marquette at home tonight in Milwaukee against Seton Hall. Baseball in Arizona. Brewers manager Pat Murphy asked about 22-year-old Jefferson Cairo coming back from surgery, and Murph is excited about the young catcher's future.
He's the right kid. He's got the right makeup, the right approach to the game. Been coached well, parented well, because that dude's special. Just mark it down. When I'm around a great one, and I can smell it. He smells like he's going to be a great one.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, lows 5 to 10 below, wind chills to 20 and 25 below. Increasing clouds for tomorrow, highs of 10 to 15 above. And with sunshine, we climb to the low 20s on Thursday and a warming trend into the weekend. Currently, it's 12 degrees.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you, too, can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, I hear Staples can print it all for my business.
Oh, if you can think it, Staples can print it, and we'll beat any print quote.
Oh, great. I'm thinking new brochures and yard signs?
No problem.
I'm thinking calendars, t-shirts, and pens.
Totally.
I'm thinking Staples is the place for printing.
I thought you might think that.
Right now at Staples, get up to $250 off your print purchase. Ends 4-5 exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for offer details. Price match guarantee valid in-store and staples.com/print. Visit staples.com/pricematch for details.
Maggie Dawn.
Hey, everybody. It is Wisconsin Wednesday. We're talking budgets, ballots, the Birkebeiner, and billionaires. Don't miss it. Next.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for tuning in. You can be a big part by joining us on the lines or on the text stream, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Got JSPS working hard on the board, on the sound, on the lines for you. And jazzed as hell, it's overtime with our pal Maggie Dawn. You can check her fine show out 2 to 4 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 2 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. Maggie, welcome back.
Thanks, Dom. It's always good to be with you. Today was more of a monologue. My hair was on fire about a couple of two tree things.
I heard you a little bit through the door.
Yeah. Not surprising. Not surprising, my friend.
We got some catching up to. I missed you yesterday, even though I was here.
But listen, Dom, you're not the only one that gets to take a vacation.
Oh, I know. I like this Fridays off thing. I can get used to that.
Right.
Lots of things to get to, Meg. You want to get your opinion on the national stage of the situation going on with Mayor Adams from New York City and the actions that he has taken in conjunction with the Trump administration. Looks like a quid pro quo kind of a deal.
Looks like they actually wrote it down
They wrote it down. They documented it.
Yeah, the like second in command, like the deputy attorney general, Emile Bove, who's Donald Trump's former criminal lawyer, wrote a memo to the Southern District of New York and said, this is why you're going to dismiss these charges against Eric Adams. And it's because, like a Russia-U.S. prisoner swap that we did a couple years ago for Brittany Griner, Eric Adams is going to go whole hog for the Trump administration and do whatever he says. And just know that the reason that is absolutely, they wrote it down. But the other instruction that was really important to pay attention to was that it was to dismiss the case without prejudice.
Right.
Which means it can be refiled against Mayor Adams if he, you know, criticizes Donald Trump or doesn't execute his daily marching orders in immediate course. Right. Like, literally, it's an anvil above his head waiting to drop at any time if Trump deems his capitulation, his compliance with the directives insufficient.
And considering the circumstances,
what leverage?
Fabulous
leverage.
And for Adams to accept a deal like that, how bad a shape does he have to be in to accept a crappy deal like that? I mean, I could see maybe, yes, it was, you know, dismissed with prejudice. They cannot bring the charges again. They'll be like, yeah, man.
Well, listen, Dom, if I told you your choices were right, do not pass go and go directly to federal prison for a number of years for corruption, avoid it for now with the hopes of always avoiding it, or those are your only two options, I think most of us would go door number two.
We'll take it.
Yeah.
We'll take the crappy deal. And along with that, though, the four deputy mayors
yes.
also have resigned. I mean, it is just a circus over there. Now the question is, New York Times reporting, the governor, Hochul, meeting with city leaders to discuss a path forward. A little quote from her: overturning the will of the voters is a serious step that should not be taken lightly, she said in a statement. That said, the alleged conduct at City Hall has been reported over the last 2 weeks is troubling and cannot be ignored. Now, according to the Constitution,
I mean, don't they
State
have an election
York,
coming right, up like yeah. pretty soon here?
One of the reasons that Donald Trump said this was an unlawful prosecution, because it's during the campaign, and Donald Trump knows something about being prosecuted, quote unquote, during the campaign.
Eric Adams was originally charged 9 months before the New York City mayoral election, which is far
Trump
outside.
Doesn't make a distinction. He was charged before it, too. He still called it election interference.
It's like it was happening tonight. Was it a little bit like Jim Comey, righteous, tall Jim Comey, dropping the Hillary Clinton email server bomb 2 weeks before that? Was that okay too, Donald?
Right.
I mean, he was all about that. That yeah, helped.
That helped him. Mm-hmm. Certainly
good
did.
News.
So, should the governor, do you think the governor should remove him given the circumstances here? I say yeah.
No.
I say yes.
Let's disagree, Dom. Okay, I'm going to say no. One, because there is an election that is very near term. If this was within the first year of his mayorship, I would have likely a different answer. I don't know enough about New York's constitution, though I am licensed to practice law there, whether or not a recall is possible. So listen, New York has a city council. There's lots of ways to try to rein in a mayor. I just think it plays into the talking points of the Trump, Vance, oligarch, billionaire, Putin fan club to just say, well, oh, this elected official we're getting rid of. I just don't.
Are you kidding me? It seems like exactly something they would do if they could do it. And this is a guy
who doesn't mean that.
I get it. But this is a guy who, based on the charges, seems like he's pretty deep.
Charges that haven't been tested before a jury, that haven't been subjected to the rules of evidence in court. I mean, this is the problem with these kinds of actions that are very extraordinary and extreme. And Donald, it's the same question about the pardons, right? Biden pardoning everybody, but like, is that a good idea? My argument then, as it remains today, was no, not a good idea. These are the norms that are difficult to stand by when it seems to be contrary to what you think is the appropriate outcome. But it's the humility in the face of the voters. I mean, New Yorkers picked him. There were some other substantial candidates for the mayorship of New York City. It's a question. Do New Yorkers want to proceed with Mayor Adams? This close to an election, I likely don't remove him.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. It's Overtime with Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show. Check her out 2 to 4 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, Monday through Friday. We're going to disagree on this one, Maggie Dawn. This election is going
to
be held.
I like a little disagreement with you, Dom.
The election is going to be held in November. It's February.
Right,
it's a long ways away, right? And the chaos is enveloping City Hall. You got all these people that are stepping down. You got the feds, you got Trump coming in. You got all sorts of concerns from conducting governmental business with this at the head. Does that weigh in at all on your decision, knowing that this is not just about Adams? I mean, he's got people around him that are dropping like flies and stepping
right.
down.
I'll just say this. From my experience in local government, of nowhere near the size of New York City, right? The vast majority of the apparatus of local government, especially, is filled with long-serving public servants that will show up and keep getting their job done to the best of their ability. The real tension point, I think, is not the factual basis for the corruption charges, though that certainly would be enough to impeach Mayor Adams. The thing that I draw that is the hardest question for me to answer is, he now literally has an anvil over his head and he is basically beholden. He's a lackey with the threat of federal prosecution for the Trump administration. Right. What assurances do I have if I were a New York City resident or Governor Hochul, Mayor Adams, that you are exercising independent judgment? That is not that the answers to what does New York do now aren't being dictated to you by the Trump administration. That, to me, is the core of the question. And that was the reason for the four deputy mayors resigning today, right? They said, he's asking us to do and say things that we don't want to and don't think are in the best interests of New York City because they benefit the Trump administration. If you have now signed your government, your New York City government, over to the Trump administration, and there's direct, specific, factual evidence of that beyond resignations, I'd want to see, like, hey, here was the directive I got from the mayor, or, and I was like, no, we're not doing that. I don't understand why that benefits New Yorkers. That then makes it a meatier and more difficult question. Sitting here today at 4:15 or whatever it is, I don't think I can go there. Again, it plays exactly into what J.D. Vance was saying in Munich. You have to think two or three steps ahead.
But you know what? I'm not going to worry about what J.D. Vance says in Munich and what the Trumpsters are going to do and what the authoritarians are going to do. They're going to do those things regardless, Maggie. Nothing that we do is going to appease or
I'm not saying we're going to convince a single MAGA
so how about
person.
I'm not going to worry about it.
I'm saying that there is a bigger political picture. The burden right now, like it or not, is on Democrats to go figure out what the hell to do next and how to change the message.
Yeah, line them up and knock them down when you get in bed.
How?
Get rid of Eric Adams, number one. Bang, you're out. We don't want that here.
Okay.
There you go.
What's beyond that?
Well, that's step one. Step three is profit. Step two, we don't know yet. We'll figure out step two. It's like the underwear gnomes from South Park. But doing nothing, waiting for what? More chaos to come to the city of New York?
I'm not saying do nothing. There is a New York attorney general. There is a Manhattan prosecutor. There is a district attorney, right? Like, these are real things. Donald Trump can't pardon or wipe away state law-based criminal charges.
Right.
What's going on, right? Like,
but if that goes forward, which it certainly could, given the circumstances of the federal case, what are they going to say then? Well, it's a weaponization of justice, and they're going to do these things regardless.
Okay, then I'm
going
right? to then I'm back to it.
Right.
Governor Hochul is right in saying it is an extraordinary step.
It is
to take someone out of office that is duly elected by the governor's sole judgment. This would be different if we had the bicameral New York State legislature.
It's under state constitution. So, I mean, that's just how it is.
Yes, but there is a difference, would you not concede, between an impeachment proceeding that occurs in a legislature and a governor, a one single person exercising, yes, their constitutionally granted authority. What if it's not Hochul the next time?
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. It's overtime with Maggie Dawn.
Disagreement.
We do love it here. You can join us on the lines as well, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I do want to move along to some of the J6 cases, but quickly, doesn't a judge have to sign off on this? I mean,
Hochul removing him?
No, on the charges being dropped against
the mayor. That hearing's happening tomorrow. Now, the judge's options, if a prosecution's office decides to dismiss, a judge can't stand in the way. The question is with or without prejudice.
Folks, that's Maggie Dawn. Come back with us, 855-752-4842. On the other side, J6 rioters say the pardons should apply to murder plots and child porn. Come back with us.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hey, it's Brian from Heights Pub and Parlor, 217 North Washington Street in Green Bay.
And I'm Ashley. Get your happy hour on every Monday through Thursday, 2 to 6 p.m. with $4 rail mixers and drafts and $3 bottled beers.
Plus, we've upgraded our kitchen. We now use lard in our fryers for healthier, tastier food. Check out our prime Angus burgers, pressed paninis, and our fresh walleye.
Hosting a party? Book our second floor parlor with a third level loft. They're perfect for get-togethers.
Heights Pub and Parlor, online at heightsgb.com or follow us on Facebook.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A federal judge sentenced former New Jersey U.S. Senator Bob Menendez January 29th to 11 years in prison for corruption charges and acting as a foreign agent. Menendez, a Democrat, was contrite in the courtroom but blasted the process as political and corrupted to the core in a not-so-subtle appeal to President Donald Trump. Menendez was convicted July 16th on all federal charges of conspiracy, bribery, extortion, wire fraud, obstruction, and acting as a foreign agent in schemes involving an Egyptian-American businessman and a New Jersey developer. In exchange for cash, a Mercedes convertible, and gold bars, Menendez used his influence as chair of the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee to procure exclusive import of halal processed meat products into Egypt. The New Jersey Monitor reports that Menendez then signed off on billions in U.S. military aid to the government of Egypt, despite the country's deteriorating human rights record. But times have changed. February 11th, the U.S. Justice Department ordered the Southern District of New York to drop bribery and corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams. He was accused of taking illegal campaign donations from foreign nationals and doing favors in exchange for luxury travel. The apparent quid pro quo with the Trump administration prompted six SDNY attorneys to resign in protest. We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Just BS working hard on the board. Got overtime with Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show. Make sure you check her out 2 to 4 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, Monday through Friday. And on Tuesdays, she's working a little overtime with me. Thank you, Maggie. Before we move on to the Wall Street Journal report of the J6 criming, let's get one caller in here, Karina from Milwaukee. Welcome, Karina. You're first today. What do you got for us?
Hi, guys. Well, you know, I completely agree with Meg because it's silly. It sounds silly when the Democrats are doing impeachment and going on the streets and saying, we're not going to allow that to do it. You are minority. You have to understand it. For me, when you're saying what we're supposed to do, with it, if that would be me, right? Mm-hmm. What do I want to know? I want to be in every possible operation Trump is involved. If it's a dodge, I want to be a part of it. If this is a destruction of education in the country, I want to be a part of it and make it bipartisan. Get yourself in the place where you are in the store eyesore. That makes sense because then you have a knowledge and you can actually influence things. Right there, right now, you cannot do anything else because you are in the minority.
Thank you, Karina. Appreciate it. Yeah. Certainly they are. And whether or not the Republicans allow them into the room or not, we'll have to wait to see what happens there. To suggest perhaps that, you know, the Democratic Party should be part of the dismantling, for instance, Karina, of the Department of Education. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I kind of disagree with that. Certainly, as we talked about, there can be, you know, created, find efficiencies and process improvements and all those kinds of things can always happen. But I think what the Republicans are trying to do is beyond that. And I don't know that the Democrats being in the room are going to be able to slow them down whatsoever. Now, it's a different situation on the state level. For instance, the governor of the state of New York could take this action that would perhaps send a signal. But, you know, I Maggie, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's where were the Democrats talking about government efficiency before this, right? Like, that's part of the problem is we've got to get way less precious about every single issue, refocus on the core things, and be able to have hard conversations. Democrats have always been a big tent party. I've said this again and again. We have to be able to tolerate internal disagreement but agree on the really big things and stop all of the infighting, like primarying the heck out of fellow Democrats. Like, we're looking at a primary today, right? For the Department of Public Instruction, where you've got basically someone running to the left of the current superintendent of public instruction and a sort of a darling-ish but doesn't look totally MAGA person. It's like, can we get together and just decide what the best course of action is here? Like, that's what political parties normally do, not silencing dissent. You continue to have all those disagreements. But again, I just think we have missed the big picture things that Donald Trump was able to motivate voters about. It's to me, a lot of it's the preciousness. You cannot be all things to all interest groups and all people all of the time and win elections because you end up internally inconsistent. Why haven't Democrats, I mean, not to be too self-oriented in this debate, but like the first year I was running a department in government, I was like, why are there 8,000 different budget line items? It's like, tell me what all of this is. Make it make sense, right? And every year I cut my budget and yet we're able to compensate people more, right? By looking very carefully. Democrats don't always have to be huge spenders. We can have these conversations about the soft, mushy bits, right? That we need to do better about. And without doing that, you always leave yourself open to attack. From those flanks, Donald Trump has exploited those weaknesses to the highest order, right? Masterfully successful at exploiting those kinds of weaknesses.
Successful at exploiting the weaknesses, pardon me, successful at getting elected 2 out of 3 times, less successful in following through with the claims that he's going to do.
Because the promises were ephemeral and garbage,
yes,
right? The
of
promises
course.
Of lower egg prices and lower gas prices and immediate world peace, all smokescreen.
Well, this time around, the promises were, I'm going to replace Obamacare with something great. I mean, all the things were...
Concept of a plan, Dominic. Concept
right,
of a plan.
Coming in 2 weeks.
But listen, he ran on the idea of increased government efficiency in part, right? Like, that was part of it. He talked about Elon Musk. He didn't clearly disclose this to the American people, right? But there have been things that groups of people in the United States have been, ideas that have been motivating to them. The question of whether it's just all racist Nazi nonsense or what was there some kernel of truth in there? What is it that the Democratic Party does in response to some of these concerns? Now, Donald Trump, again, manipulative, racist, xenophobic, anti-Semitic, all of that. And yes.
And plus. Right,
yeah, right. Yeah. It's like you got to be able to see what fig leaf of legitimate public policy was he able to put on some of this. And we got to be able to criticize all the hate while still being able to say, here's what we're going to do to make those things better. Right? Meaning, it's got to be more efficient. Taxpayers have to have confidence. I mean, the city of Milwaukee for years published a little pamphlet every year that said, here's where every dollar of your tax dollars, here's where it goes in the city government.
Yeah.
Right? Like, where's that for the feds? Those kinds of things that are accessible and understandable to people are essential to rebuilding trust. Right? Otherwise, it's just like two sides just screaming at each other. It is, and we have to be able to do the calling out the hate and the very clear move towards authoritarianism, the authoritarian dictator playbook, the alignment of U.S. interests with Russian interests is garbage. I mean, we've been working since World War II to spread democracy and get away from authoritarianism. And what, in 2 days, Donald Trump is like, forget that. I think there might be some oil over there that we need. Or I want to build a tower in Moscow. I mean, who knows?
We got some minerals that we want. It is Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show doing a little overtime on the Dom Salvia Show. Check her out Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. Maggie, always a pleasure. Nice to see you, girl.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me, Dom.
Folks, stick around. Come back with your calls. 855-752-4842. Wall Street Journal wondering what's going on with the pardons. Come back with us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're-
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. A 30-year-old Waupaca man received four traffic citations after his pickup crashed into a stopped school bus last week. Jordan Gilbo got citations for non-registration of a vehicle, driving while suspended, reckless driving, endangering safety, and failing to stop for an unloading school bus. No criminal charges were filed in the February 11th incident in Royalton. Four students were either on the bus, had just gotten off, or were in the process of getting off the bus when it was hit. After over 70,000 votes were cast worldwide, the late John Brosik of Pound, Wisconsin, was named the 27th member of the Green Bay Packers Fan Hall of Fame out of a field of 10 finalists Monday. Brosik passed away on December 28, 2024, shortly after being named a Fan Hall of Fame finalist. He was so proud of the honor, he asked his family to include the exciting news in his obituary. Dedicated and passionate, Brosik became a Packers season ticket holder back in 1962, and for more than 60 years, he attended every game included in his ticket package at Lambeau Field. He and his wife also watched the Packers play at 29 different NFL stadiums. In an excerpt from the nomination essay, his family wrote of his battle with cancer, saying, "Unfortunately, Dad was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer in June 2024. When asked what goals he'd like to set, the first goal was to attend the 2024 home opener so he wouldn't break his streak and could start year number 60. They made that happen. Brosig's name will now be permanently enshrined in the Packers Hall of Fame. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Sometimes Marvel movies are review-proof, such is the case with Captain America: Brave New World, which was number one at the box office this past weekend. Despite mediocre reviews, the franchise flick pulled in $192 million at the worldwide box office to lead the way. Theater owners in the U.S. were particularly happy, as the fourth Captain America film brought in about $100 million domestically. Not bad for February. The other big film opening this weekend was Paddington in Peru. The third installment in the popular Paddington franchise finished in second place, bringing in $13 million at the box office. Paddington will probably find a bigger audience when it goes to streaming and VOD. Sony Pictures' Heart Eyes took in about $10 million in its second weekend to finish in third place, and it was Mufasa the Lion King holding steady in fifth place during its ninth week of release with $4.2 million. Starting to think I'm the only person that hasn't seen this movie. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, lows 5 to 10 below, wind chills to 20 and 25 below. Increasing clouds for tomorrow, highs of 10 to 15 above. And with sunshine, we climb to the low 20s on Thursday and a warming trend into the weekend. Currently, it's 12 degrees.
Hey, it's Amanda with another new Wisco 411, and the diverse and resilient Appleton Room to Be Safe is hosting a monthly drop-in night for LGBTQ plus adults, which will have social connection, fun, and resource sharing, and best of all, support. These meetings are available once a month from now through April. They are completely free and unstructured, so you can come when you want and leave when you want. If you're interested, go to wgbw.fm and click events to learn more.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Wednesday's show, we'll welcome Michael Friedman from Simple Life Hospitality, and Terry Charles joins us for Disney on Ice. We'll give away tickets.
Plus, Eric Sponholz from Literacy Green Bay will talk about Give Big Green Bay. Join us.
Let me take you, baby, down to the river, baby.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. That's the number if you want to line on us. Got Jess P.S. working the board, working the phones for you. Want to thank our most recent guest, the incomparable Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show, airing 2 to 4 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. She is awesome. Love me some Maggie. Even when we disagree, we can disagree, even though we think a lot alike. I tell you, I'm getting to be a little more hard-ass in this thing, man. I think the governor of New York should squash Eric Adams like a bug. That's what I think. And the people need to start executing their power, if you have it, and given the circumstances of Eric Adams now being the toady of the Trump administration with a lawsuit or indictment hanging over his head if he doesn't toe the line properly, it seems to me would indicate that maybe he doesn't have the fine city of New York citizens in his mind when he's making his decisions. But I digress. 855-752-4842. We're going to get to this Wall Street Journal article in just a moment. The J6 rioters, are you pardons apply to charges including murder plot and child porn?
Oh, boy.
Only the best.
Only the best.
But before we dive in, we've got some callers and some texters, and you know how we roll here. The callers, they always take priority. Here is one, our buddy CJ. Haven't heard from you in a while. Welcome back, CJ. What's on your mind today?
Thanks, Dom. As I listen to Maggie and yourself, I find it funny your concern for the Constitution now when we saw the previous administration walk all over it.
You have an example of that?
Well, I've given it before, the student loan forgiveness.
Come on. All right, so he did some executive orders. They were pushed back, and then he reworked it and did some more executive orders and, you know, saved people some money on their student loans. Yeah, okay, man.
No, he was trying to buy votes is what he was doing.
Hang on a second, CJ. Now, I appreciate that. Let's talk about buying votes for just a moment. What's your opinion on the tariffs? Do you think Donald Trump should, even though he, you know, negotiated the got rid of NAFTA and did the new one that he did. I can't come up with the acronym right now. The Mexico USA Canada agreement that he did, that he is now superseding with these tariffs. Do you think the tariffs are a good idea, CJ? 25% tariffs on our biggest trading partners?
I think they're amazing bargaining chips.
Okay, well, let me ask you about this, and thank you for your answer. Let me ask you another question about the last time Donald Trump did tariffs. Last time he did tariffs, the Chinese stopped buying lots of our agriculture. And if you've been listening to the show, we've been harping on this for about the last week, reminding people of what happened. When that happened, Donald Trump went to pocket to the taxpayers of this country and cut checks directly to farmers in the amount of $12 billion one time and $16 billion another time, in the total of $28 billion, right? Not a loan, straight up money paid to them during the election, CJ. Is that buying votes as well?
No, I wouldn't exactly say that.
What would you call it? Is that a successful trade operation? Is that successful tariff planning?
It's the same thing that Obama did with the auto industry.
I'm going to cut you off right there, CJ. Thanks for calling, but listen closely. What Obama did, and this was a bipartisan issue, and I wasn't real happy with it, was bail out the auto industry. Those were loans with interest, and they were mostly paid back. What Trump did to the tune of almost $30 billion was cut checks from the CCC program, a New Deal era program, and that money was never meant to come back. It was never to be repaid. That was just out of pocket, man. So those are different, man. What Obama did was different. What Biden did was different than what Trump did. Now, we can look at all these things and make an assessment, but that's my impression, man. You think something's different? You think that was like an auto bailout, an auto loan bailout, man? You got to read up on it. That was checks cut out of the bottom line, goes right to the national debt because of BS bunk decision making the last time Trump got us into a trade war to the tune of what, $30 billion almost, when he was cutting checks to the farmers right during the election. That one could legitimately consider buying votes. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Sydney from Appleton, you will be next. Welcome, Cindy. What do you got for us?
I don't know. That man just blew my brains out of my head. He is just so...
Keep it together, Cindy.
Oh, anyway, I am calling because a guy at work, who obviously is a supporter of the felon, talked about what Musk is doing with Social Security right now is a really good thing because he has found over 200,000 checks going to people that have been going for over 50 years, which would mean these people are all well over 100. So he's cleaning up the Social Security. So now I suppose yeah. They're going to cut the Social Security for everybody because that's what they do. So, I mean, God, where does this stuff come from?
Well, Cindy, it comes from the top. It comes from Doge. It comes from the Trump administration. And it comes from Trump's press secretary. And thank you for the segue. We'll go here perhaps right now, according to the New Republic. And here we go. Trump's press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, claimed tens of millions of dead people were receiving Social Security payments. Here is a quote that she said during an appearance on the Fox Don't Call It News yesterday. Quote, President Trump has directed Elon Musk and the Doge team. Apparently, Elon Musk does not work for Doge. I don't know what's happening, but they're let's keep going. Trump has directed Musk and the Doge team to identify fraud at the Social Security Administration. They haven't dug into the books yet. Well, they haven't, but they suspect. Oh, there it is. They suspect.
Suspect. That's a very different word.
You know, some people say, I suspect that Elon Musk and Doge are hacks, but that's only my suspicion. They suspect that there are tens of millions of deceased people receiving fraudulent Social Security payments. Again, she said that on Fox Don't Call It News. She said Doge was seeking to identify payments that are going to deceased people who are no longer living and should no longer be receiving that money. Well, Caroline, I think the definition of deceased is no longer living. A little redundant.
To
say that identify payments that are going to deceased people who are no longer living. Well, what if those checks are going to deceased people who continue to live?
The undead. We've got a real zombie problem in the United States.
All these zombies are collecting to Social Security, man. I mean, talk about busting the system because, you know, zombies, they don't die. I mean, you got to, like, get them in the head or something. I forget.
There's very specific roles.
You got a very specific way to kill the zombies. Leavitt. Now, this is a press secretary seeking to identify payments that are going to deceased people that are no longer living. I'm sorry. It's just funny to me. I'm a short guy who's not very tall. I'm a fat guy. It's not very skinny. She claimed that she had been spent the day battling with fake news reporters who had been fear-mongering about Musk. Earlier in the day, Michelle King, SSA's acting commissioner, resigned. Yeah, Social Security Administration acting administrator resigned due to a clash with the unelected bureaucrat, the deep state, I guess one would say.
One might.
Who recently gained access to the agency's database that contained troves of sensitive data belonging to the Americans. For someone with mere suspicions, as Leavitt puts it, Musk has been steadily ramping up his public claims about fraud at the Social Security Administration. Last week, he said Doge review of the SSA had uncovered people marked as 150 years old who had been receiving Social Security benefits. Musk said during his appearance at the Oval Office, quote, now, do you know anyone that's 150? I don't know. They should be in the Guinness Book of World Records. So that's a case where I think they're probably dead. He repeated the claim on X on Sunday, attaching a chart of how many people in different age brackets had received Social Security benefits, suggesting that more than 16 million people whose ages were marked between 110 and 370 years old were receiving Social Security benefits.
Now, did he provide any evidence for that? Any receipts?
The chart.
There was a chart. Did the chart have any sources cited on it?
Yeah, I mean, there was a chart that had numbers on it.
That's not a source cited.
According to the Social Security database, these are the numbers of people in each age buckets with the death field sent to false. Maybe Twilight is real and there are a lot of vampires collecting Social Security, Musk wrote. You know, this DEI deep state operative really in the last 4 weeks is really getting under my skin. I mean, remember the 50 million in condoms that went to Gaza? Remember that?
I do. Yeah. I also heard at one point that it might have been 100.
million. We were also sending apparently dozens of millions of dollars of condoms to the Taliban.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
A lot of condoms.
That's a lot of condoms. So when Doge and this administration comes out with pure BS, like $50 million of the condoms going to Gaza, which is not true. Republicans, we've talked
in any
it.
Way, like
in any way, shape, or form. I mean, not even close. I mean, pull from ass, totally made up, not accurate in any way, shape, or form. For me, kind of lessens their credibility. I mean, just a bit. I'm just saying. I mean, if you walk into a bar and you play a game of pool and the guy cheats when you think you're not looking, you probably want to play with the guy anymore, right? You kind of get an understanding of how things are. And I don't think that certainly Donald Trump is a big fat liar. And Elon Musk has been, let's call it, wrong before. So why would I assume that this is now the case? Where's the critical thinking? Where's the objective thought process for anyone when you're hearing these things coming out of Doge and Elon Musk and essentially the Trump administration? Let's just call it what it is. This is Trump's plan. These are his people. This is coming from the Trump administration. All right, a little bit more back to the New Republic reporting. Then we'll get to your calls, 855-752-4842. In total, the chart inexplicably alleges that 400 million people were receiving Social Security benefits, while the SSA's website states that in 2024, there were under 67 million Social Security recipients. But that's not the only part of Musk's fraud claims that don't quite pass the smell test. Doge didn't discover fraud, but a filing error that was already made public in a 2023 report from the Inspector General's office. The office found that the Social Security databases, specifically the Death Master File, DMF, and the Numident File, N-U-M-I-D-N-T, Numident File, containing identifiable information for each person issued a Social Security number, were not always updated when someone died. Yeah, kind of like the voter rolls, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The Numident contained the names of more than 18 million people born before 1920 who had no death information. Quote, death information missing from the Numident and the DMF hampers both SSA and government-wide efforts to prevent and detect fraud and misuse, the report authors said. Again, in 2023, this isn't the first time that Musk claimed Doge discovered something that was actually publicly available. Crucially, the so-called discovery doesn't necessarily indicate fraud. That same report found that 98% of Social Security number holders aged 100 years or older were not receiving benefits. Ultimately, the report determined that the system didn't need to be updated because it was too expensive. Musk should like that kind of thing, right? Yeah, let's spend $10 to save $5, right, Musk?
Mm-hmm.
The SSA has other means of combating the issue. Since 2015, the SSA has had a policy of automatically terminating entitlement to beneficiaries who are age 115 or older in any current continuous suspense for 7 years or more, or entitled on a record where there are no other beneficiaries in a non-terminated status younger than the age of 115. You know, I mean, you know how hard it is to get sometimes? I mean, people are rejected more often than not.
Mm-hmm.
Experts have suggested another possible explanation, talking about COBOL, a six-year-old programming language, so on and so forth. I guess to our caller's point, this is where they're hearing this. So, you take a sliver of truth. Apparently, there are some issues getting the dead people on the rolls, but it's expensive to go through line by line and get it done. Oh, okay. But there's not people that are claiming to be 150 years old that are cashing checks. That's just not happening. So, I mean, I'm down as we talked with Maggie Dawn about. Yeah, where is the operational efficiencies? Where is the efforts to streamline and to make government more efficient? All those things. Okay, I'm down for that. You know, man, when I was in grad school, it was always about process innovation. You know, these things that never ever stop. So there should always be that kind of mindset. That doesn't mean it's not there just because it's not publicly talked about and espoused from the soapbox in the middle of the park. But presumably there are some efforts, and if there's not, there should be, and we should all be thankful for, you know, trying to get things and save some money where we can. But to go out and specifically spread false information, to make accusations, and for the president's press secretary to go up and on Fox News and say, oh, yeah, I don't know, well, they haven't dug into the books, but they suspect that there's tens of millions of deceased people cashing checks. It's irresponsible at best and outright lying. Probably at worst. Come back with us. Your call is 855-752-4842.
I got a line on you, babe. 97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Believe it or not, it is once again time for Wisconsinites to head to the polls and vote. I know, we all have a bit of election fatigue after 2024, but the spring election primary is coming up on Tuesday, February 18th. One race that will be on every ballot statewide for the spring primary is for state superintendent. Incumbent Jill Underley is seeking another term, and two candidates are challenging her. Jeff Wright, superintendent for Sauk Prairie Schools, and Brittany Kinzer, an education consultant and former charter school executive. Kinzer's candidacy, in particular, is gaining steam. Her campaign reported raising more than $500,000, far more than what Underley or Wright have brought in. With that type of financial support, this could prove to be a more competitive race for state superintendent than what we've seen in quite some time. This is becoming a real race to watch.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Going to go to the lines in just a moment, talking about this, you know, suspicion that there's millions of dead people and zombies cashing checks. Former Governor Martin O'Malley was on CNN recently. The Raw story wrote up what he had to say, and this is what he said. While there are outliers within the 72.5 million inside the system, he said it was more common for benefits to be erroneously cut off. Yeah, let's do that. How many people have been erroneously cut off from their benefits? Mm. You got that one, Musk? Because that's got to, if something is cut off erroneously, it's a hell of a process to get it back on again, right? If you don't make those mistakes on the front end, you have to worry about fixing it on the back end. But I digress. Martin O'Malley said this, but no, Elon Musk, I mean, the co-presidents, keep throwing stuff out on Twitter that they can never back up. I mean, ask Elon Musk, show me the 200 million that are still receiving checks. He can't. These 19-year-old nitwits from Doge that are violating the law and plucking people's personal identifying information, they don't know what they're looking at. O'Malley concluded that driving another 10,000 people from the agency, already at an all-time low on staff levels, is the biggest threat to Social Security. 855-752-4842. Cam, our buddy from Appleton, you're next. Welcome, Cam. What do you got for us?
Afternoon, guys. I know you touched on it a little bit earlier about the COBOL language, the 60-year-old one.
Yep.
The woman that created that language, I believe, actually just passed away recently. But that language was revolutionary. And just for businesses in general to use just for business processes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it's some like archaic thing that nobody uses anymore. It's still heavily used. And I can guarantee you, you'd find spots that Fortune 500, Fortune 100 companies are constantly still using it. Amazon definitely still uses it. So I just wanted to mention for people to understand out there, this thing, if it doesn't have a specific date with inside of it, like 2025, it uses the default, which is 1875, I believe.
May 20th, 1875 is the default, yes.
Yeah, there we go. So it'll go to a default date. And then for other people that show up on there that are not at the 150-year mark, for any of those other years, if the United States doesn't receive proof of death, like let's say someone dies outside of the country, which it can happen, if they don't receive the proof of death, then they just leave it, but they keep track of it. It's just that they don't have another field saying, this person was eaten by sharks, but we can't prove it, you know?
Yeah, and so then are those checks getting cash, Cam?
No, absolutely not. There's no way for them to be because they're not even being issued.
Well, you should join Doge, Cam. Thank you for bringing that up and explaining the COBOL just a little bit. We'll put the newrepublic.com post up in the new the notes for the show. Thank you, Cam. Let's get on the lines, 855-752-4842. Mark from the SAC, you are next. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Yes, as somebody who worked, you know, doing audits during part of my career, I mean, that these guys obviously aren't looking at the real data. They're just pulling this stuff out of some orifice that is not very pleasant and just spewing it out there. And it's just ridiculous. They should put these guys under oath, you know, make a must go under oath and say, this is what we found. And obviously he's not going to do that because they're just making this stuff up. I mean, if there's 72 people receiving annuities from the Social Security Administration, there's not tens and tens of millions of people, you know, getting illegitimate benefits out of it. I mean, it makes no sense. I mean, I'm babbling here, but I just when you're faced with this kind of nonsense, as you know, sometimes what I faced, you know, when I was doing some audits, you're just flabbergasted when they keep spewing this stuff out.
Yeah, and they keep spewing it out, and this is coming from the top. I mean, this is the White House press secretary. This is Musk, you know, the richest man in the world, and his pet little ex out there pushing the lies. I mean, until they can prove it, like Martin O'Malley said, show me the 200 million people. Where are those checks getting cash? I mean, checks get cash, they go into an account, right? I mean,
yeah, there's a trail of it. There's a reason why you say follow the money, because it leaves a trail.
It's not like people are getting duffel bags of actual cash dollars.
Oh, right, they're not getting gold bars for their Social Security checks.
If you take the check and you cash it, you ever look at a clear check? You know what I mean? There's an account number on the back. It processes through the bank. I mean, I can look at clear checks on my bank account. You know what I'm saying? So it's disingenuous. And while I certainly would hate to see any fraud on any scale, small scale or massive scale, sometimes you hear y'all, you know, someone's elderly mother or relative died and they kept him in the home and were cashing their Social Security. Mm-hmm. I mean,
but that's an incredibly rare thing.
Right.
It's not like this is happening constantly.
And that's not going to be something that these Elon Musk can start knocking on doors and making sure and going door to door to door to make sure everyone over 115 years old are still living. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, it's just not going to be. At some point, there are diminishing returns. You're not going to spend $10 to save $5. I'm just saying. So while there is some, I guess, built-in cost for that, to have these 19-year-old kids and Elon Musk out there, and of course the Trump's press secretary. I mean, they haven't dug into the books yet, but they suspect there are tens of millions of deceased people receiving. Well, they can suspect it. Of course, they suspect it. That's why they're looking into it. But I would say that seeking to identify the payments that are going to deceased people who are no longer living should be really easy than to find the checks of going to deceased people who are still living. I mean, that's really the battle. And now we got a whole nother problem on our hands. Folks, this is the Dom Salvi Show. Come back with us, 855-752-4842. We're going to get to the J6 crimes, do the pardons that were given to the J6 insurrectionist bastards apply to other crimes that they were committing before or after. That and more. Your calls, 855-75-CIVIC.
Some of the things that I say will be incorrect.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Jane has jury duty, but I, Greg Bach, am your host, and we have Pat Kreitlow at 10:30 and Sean Rowland, who is a Milwaukee County supervisor, talking about why he ran for office. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Matt Nair on air.
Oh, Randy Manor is here.
What can you do about this? Focus on what you can impact. Find the courage to speak up to your elected official. If you are silent, then your elected official at the local, state, or federal level will think you completely agree with whatever it is you're doing.
Silence equals acceptance.
Correct.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and a federal judge ruled a lawsuit seeking to block Doge and Elon Musk from accessing sensitive data at federal agencies and firings did not meet the standard of proof as presented. ABC's Devin Dwyer says it doesn't end the legal battle.
The administration said as much today in court records, but of course a number of plaintiffs from states to government employees who have been fired are asking the courts to take a close look at this. They allege that Elon Musk has a lot more power than we're led to believe he has, and that he should be struck down from his position, and all the changes that have come from Doge should be put on pause because he's illegally installed.
The first high-level meeting between the U.S. and Russia in 3 years taking place in Saudi Arabia today, focusing on ending the war in Ukraine. The Vatican says tests reveal Pope Francis has double pneumonia. Initially, the 88-year-old pontiff was hospitalized for bronchitis. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale.